السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening, it is the fazl, the bounty, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us life to witness another Ramadan, the Ramadan of 1437. We had been making this dua from the month of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. With this zeal and enthusiasm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant us the opportunity of witnessing another Ramadan in our lives. And the reason for this is that we're going to get another opportunity to earn great rewards, another opportunity to invest in our akhirat, another opportunity to elevate our stages and to wipe out our sins and to become recipients of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in the hadith, أَلَا إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَ وَمَلْعُونَهُ مَلْعُونٌ مَا فِيهَا إِلَّا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَالَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That this entire world is accursed. Everything in this world is cursed. But there is an exception to that. إِلَّا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَالَهُ. The only thing in this world that is not cursed is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything that is associated to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This month of Ramadan, there is a strong bond and connection with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to understand, and we should not confine and restrict the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the tasbihat. Some are under the impression that when we say dhikr, then we are speaking about the tasbih. A person sits with the tasbih and makes zikrullah, la ilallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Yes, this is one form of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is, there is a much broader definition with regards to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, that at any given moment, what command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused upon me. So for example, now we all came for the Jum'ah Salah. When the Mu'adhin had called out the Adhan, Hayya ala Salah, come towards Salah. Hayya ala al-Falah, come towards success. That this is the true success. Standing before your Rabb, communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strengthening your connection and your bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where you're going to find success. Come towards this success. So this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was now focused upon us. Now if we heeded this call and if we came to the masjid, we are now engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, a person is at home, his wife is suddenly ill, she's sick. Allah ta'ala give all our family members good health. But it happens, this is part of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. That most certainly, most definitely, you will be tested. The gist of the ayah, not the literal translation. Most definitely, most certainly, you will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ وَيُتْرَكُوا وَيَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. In another verse, Allah says, do the believers think that they are going to come into this world and they're not going to be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. The nations before you were tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how He establishes who are those whose iman and yaqeen is strong and who are those who are weak. So we have to be tested in this world. So Allah says, we will definitely be testing you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. With a little bit of fear. Sometimes there will be some fear today in South Africa, we are always under fear. I say, what is one of the greatest ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, as Imam Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that when the person comes out of the shopping mall or out of the masjid and he still finds his car is parked there. The car has not been stolen. So we are always living under fear in this particular country. This is one form of test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unleashed upon us. Sometimes it is a test because Allah ta'ala wants to raise our stages, and sometimes it is because of our sins. It is up to the individual to decide. Each person should look into his own life. We cannot judge the next person and say, oh, must be this person is very sinful and that this is why this test has come upon him. The person himself knows what is his life. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ وَعَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرًا We know best what is our condition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send different kinds of tests. And this morning we had mentioned in the after Fajr, the program, that one person came to our late Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Allah ta'ala fill his grave with noor. I came to him and said that, Maulana, I have decided to migrate from this country and leave this country. It's very, very dangerous. I just got hijacked. That's enough now. I'm going. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, with all his wisdom, he mentioned to him that, brother, so where did you get hijacked? So he said, no, I got hijacked when I was on my way to work. So he said, now you're traveling to work. Now how long are you working there? So he said, 23 years. So he said, now in the 23 years that you are working there, how many times you got hijacked? Prison is the first time. First time I got hijacked. So Hazrat Ramatullah said that, see, 23 years you didn't get hijacked. First time you got hijacked. So who is it that made it happen that you got hijacked? Allah Ta'ala. Nothing happens without the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Not even a leaf falls without the permission of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah has absolute control over this world. Allah never ever loses control over any aspect of this world. So Allah Ta'ala made it happen. Allah Ta'ala, through His permission, it happened. So it's one of two things. Either there is some sin that you have committed, there is some weakness in your own personal life, and Allah Ta'ala is giving you a little bit of a shake-up. Allah says in the Quran al-Majid, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that we will make them taste the lesser punishment prior to the greater punishment so that they can turn back to Allah Ta'ala and repent. Then if they still do not heed that lesser punishment, then the greater punishment is unleashed upon them. So Allah Ta'ala sometimes shakes a person up in his life, gives him a little bit of a jolt, a little bit of a shake in his life, and makes us realize, listen, life is very short. Suddenly, within seconds, I could have been gone. That could have been it. All could have been over. A lot of aspirations I had. And I'm continuing in this road of negligence. It's now time for me to change. So Allah Ta'ala is giving us a little bit of a shake-up so that we can turn. So perhaps Allah Ta'ala made that happen to you so that you can turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Or it could be a test from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sometimes tests a person to elevate his stages. Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, will test you with a little bit of fear, وَالْجُوعِ, and sometimes hunger, وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, deficiency in wealth, shortage of wealth, shortage in crops and fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah says, give glad tidings to those who are patient. Those who are patient, give them glad tidings. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, when any affliction, calamity comes upon them, what do they say? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this gives a person so much of strength and courage at the time of a major tragedy, affliction, when he loses a near and dear one. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, we all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person has lost his close, near, dear one. So he says that, I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He or she belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala made it such that we could benefit from him or her for a period of time. But it was the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah ta'ala has full authority and right to take that which belongs to him. But we will all be returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah we will once again be reunited with our near and dear ones. So look at the beauty of this verse. And this gives a individual great strength during the time of tragedy and calamity. So Allah Ta'ala will test us. We are going to be tested in this world. This is why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent us into this world. Not to enjoy ourselves and continue. This world is a very temporary place. So we mentioned that this entire world is accursed except the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything associated to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now if the person's wife, his mother, his grand, his parents, if they are ill, so now the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you need to make khidmah, you need to see to them, you need to take them to the doctor, you need to get the medication for them. That is a instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will be pleased by that action. Now if the individual takes his parents to the doctor, or he makes khidmah for his parents, that will also be regarded as the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how beautiful our deen and our shariat is. In fact, our Maulana Yunus Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, used to give this example over and over again. He used to say, you have two individuals. You have one individual who sits in the masjid the entire day. He makes zikrullah. He's got a family, he's got children. But he confines and restricts himself to the masjid. And he doesn't see to the needs of his family. Rent, lights, water cannot be paid. And you have another individual who goes out into the marketplace. He performs his faraiz. He does what is necessary. But he goes out into the marketplace, he starts trading and selling. He's calling out this particular item so much, that particular item so much. Whole day, that is what he's calling out. He says that individual, he's calling out and selling of the item will earn him greater reward and will be more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than that individual who is confined to the masjid, neglecting the needs of his family and not fulfilling his responsibilities and his duties. So look at how balanced deen is and shariat is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, respected elders and brothers, with this noble month of Ramadan. We need to now introspect. We are in the month of Ramadan. It must not be that we get so bogged down into our routine that we forget what is the real goal and purpose and objective of this month of Ramadan. Is it just that we must stay hungry from the morning till the evening? Is it just that we must stand up after the Taraweeh, after the Isha Salah and perform 20 rakats and count down? There's now 18 left and now 16 left and now only 4 left and this Imam Sahib took very long and he was making a lot of mistakes. Is that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this month of Ramadan for us? Or that we have to wake up for sehri time and adjust our timetables? No, there is a greater purpose and a goal. And Allah ta'ala is once again reminding ourselves, we've heard this verse, but this entire Jummah program is for reminding ourselves. There's no time to go into lengthy, detailed discussions and technical matters. This is to rejuvenate ourselves and refocus. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That the whole purpose and the whole objective and the reason why fasting is a compulsory for you, the reason why you have this month of Ramadan, the objective and the goal is that you must get this quality of taqwa in your lives. So this is the goal and this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting compulsory upon us. Now we need to ask ourselves and look into our lives that have I been able to develop this quality of taqwa in my life or not? Now Allah Ta'ala has made it so conducive. Shaitan is tied up. We have got two enemies. Nafs and shaitan. Dono ne milkar hai kya hai mujhko taba. Oh Allah, this nafs and shaitan, they have formed a coalition. They have united and they have ganged up against me. They want to drag me down the gutters of shame and humiliation. They want me to fail and they want to take me to Jahannam. So, Ya Allah, you protect me. So this nafs and shaitan is with us. The greatest enemy is our nafs. And shaitan is the other one. So Allah Ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, He sorted out shaitan. Shaitan has been kept at bay. The only thing that we have to contend with is our nafs. So for this, Allah Ta'ala has also made it easy for us to control our nafs. The ulama-i kiram have explained that one aspect that causes the nafs to become very rebellious is food. In fact, one of our ulama-i kiram mentioned that he went to one area. So when he went there, there was a hakim. So when he entered the home and the yard of that hakim, he found that he had a lion roaming around in the yard. He very worried. So immediately they calmed him down, said, don't worry, this lion won't attack you. Very strange, what kind of a lion is this? This lion will not attack. So he said, let me explain to you. You see, this lion, what we've done is we've minimized its food intake to such an extent that it's become used to the bare minimal amount of food. So as a result, it survives with bare minimum food, but because the food is so little, that instinct of attacking has been completely diminished and destroyed. So subhanallah, He says, now look at this, that animal which is instinctive nature is to kill. But now when its food is brought down, that animalistic quality of killing is now diminished. It's suppressed. So he says, in the same way in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that because of fasting, we naturally, our food intake is suppressed. And as a result, those animalistic qualities, those evil tendencies within ourselves, those qualities of greed, of anger, of lust, all these things are suppressed. Making it now so much more easier for us to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to develop this quality of taqwa. Because now nafs also has been suppressed. So now it becomes so much more easier, respected elders and brothers, for us to develop this quality of taqwa. And together with that, the entire act of fasting, where we are restraining ourselves constantly. The person walks into the kitchen, he goes home now, the food is there. Now what is stopping the person from eating that food? It's only one thing. The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is watching me. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jaha se, koi dekhta hai tujhe asma se. Remember that which you do in secrecy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is away. Allah is watching. If I eat this food, my fast will not be valid. That's what every Muslim says. Now we need to implement that particular quality in every facet and aspect of our lives. That now when we are in our business houses, when we are working, the person is now employed, and now he wants to use that phone for his own personal need. And now that particular phone has been given to him for the usage of the business related calls. Now he wants to phone his relative in England and in London and in Canada. But now he says to himself that the employer may not come to know. But that Allah who has given me eyes and that Allah who watches everything, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Allah is watching me. Allah knows. Allah can see. He develops this consciousness within his heart. This person has achieved the objective and the goal of the month of Ramadan. In a beautiful hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has advised that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentioned to him, اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس. That, oh Abu Huraira, stay away from sins. You will become the greatest of worshippers. Stay away from sins, you will become the greatest of worshippers. You see, the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, the positive zikr we are doing, we've all increased the positive zikr. We are now making a lot of tilawat of Quran Sharif, and this is the month of Ramadan, Shahru Ramadan, alladhi unzira fi al-Quran. There is a strong bond and connection between the month of Ramadan and the tilawat of Quran Sharif. We should increase our tilawat of Quran Sharif. For those who are not hafiz al-Quran or not fluent in the recitation of the Quran Sharif, they should make it a goal at least one khatam of the Quran Sharif in the month of Ramadan. At least. For those who are huffaz, mashallah, they should be reading 5, 6, 10 paras every single day. Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq. So, the month of Ramadan, there is a strong connection with the tilawat of Quran Sharif, with dua. These are all the positive zikr. But greater than the positive zikr is the negative zikr. And Allah Ta'ala appreciates the negative zikr more than the positive zikr. There are many, many riwayat which confirm this particular aspect. One particular riwayat, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks about sab'atun yudhilluhum Allahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhillu. Allah Ta'ala will give 7 categories of individuals shade under His arsh. From among those 7 categories, there's 2 particular categories which also indicate towards this quality of taqwa. The one is shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah. That youngster who grew up in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Now if you look at a young person, he's got all the vigor, he's got all the energy, the desire is now all increasing, it's boiling. Sabr ka peymana labrez ho gaya. That sabr, that cup of sabr now is till the top. It's overfilling. The person now to restrain himself, he has to exercise a lot of force, a lot of sacrifice he has to make. And the temptations, especially the environment that we are living in, with all the cell phones and the internet and these kind of things. Therefore, the parents should be very particular with regards to this aspect, especially in the month of Ramadan. Let us not expose our children to these kind of things. We need to protect our children. As Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullahi, we should try and get the kitab, removing the safety net. The title of the kitab itself, you can give a whole explanation. That if a person has got a swimming pool, he's got a swimming pool within his home, so now we know that it is a regulation that you need to have a safety net on that swimming pool. Because now a little child, when the child will go close to that swimming pool, there's a great possibility that child could fall inside. And then when the child falls inside, the child is unable to swim. And because the child is unable to swim, the child can drown. And then there's tragedy. And then the person feels regret and remorse. So the safe thing to do is to place a safety net over the pool. So that the child, even if the child does go towards the swimming pool, the child will not fall inside. In the same way, many individuals say, well, there's a fitna today, cell phones are everywhere now, what are you going to do? Let them play, it's okay. Let them learn the hard way. Some people say with regards to their children, let them learn the hard way. We learn the hard way, let them learn the hard way. One individual said, well, he got saved from that environment, so probably my child can also get saved. So the example will give that individual, like now there was an incident where a child was killed by a crocodile in one of the countries. So now if somebody dived into a river that was infested with crocodiles, and that particular child managed to come out the other side and survive, so will we say that, well, that child went inside that river, the child survived, so let me also throw my child inside. There's a possibility my child could also survive. Will any sensible parent ever take that kind of a risk? So therefore we cannot take these kind of risks when it comes to our children and say, let them learn the hard way. We need to be safe. Rather be safe than sorry. So we need to take the necessary safety measures, protect them from these kind of things. Do not give them the cell phones. If a person has not learned how to charm the snake, then unfortunately the snake will bite. So many youngsters, cell phone. No, I got caught on the cell phone. This is how I ended up here. Mother's cell phone, she left it and we went on this website. And now I got caught up with these kind of things. Little girls went onto these websites and chat lines and these kind of things. What happened afterwards? It's sad. So we need to protect our children. Do not remove that safety net. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible and protect our youth. So we're coming back to that. Now that youngster who restrains himself in the month of Ramadan, restrains himself during his youth, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala will summon him. And Allah will say, where are you now? You come here. I am giving you shade under my arsh today. Today when there is no shade except under my arsh. And the second category, also indicating the quality of taqwa. That وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. That individual, that man who is invited by a beautiful and a noble woman towards zina. There is a temptation. He is seduced. But what does he respond? How does he respond? He says, I fear my Allah. I fear Allah. He has got taqwa in his life. Allah appreciates this. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will give him shade under his arsh. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan is an ideal opportunity to develop this quality of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala commences the Quran Sharif, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The entire Quran Sharif is hidayat for taqwa walo ke liye. Those individuals who have got taqwa. If you do not have taqwa in your life, then unfortunately you are not going to be able to find the true benefit of the Quran Sharif. Yes, if you develop the quality of taqwa, subhanallah, we can quote verses and verses of the Quran Sharif where Allah Ta'ala gives glad tidings to those who have got taqwa. Inna Allaha ma'a alladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Allah Ta'ala is with those who have got taqwa. Innahu man yattaqi wa yasbir fa inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajra al muhsinin. That individual who has got taqwa, who has got the quality of sabr, Allah Ta'ala will never ever allow his efforts to go in vain. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah says, whoever adopts taqwa, Allah will find a way out from every problem for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَزِبْ. And Allah will send sustenance and risk for him from sources he would not even imagined. So respected elders and brothers, Allah has given us an opportunity. This month of Ramadan, we will never ever get another 1437 Ramadan in our lives. We will never ever get it again. Our lives are limited. Our lives are limited. We all have an expiry date attached to our lives. Therefore, every believer should say to himself, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. When you wake up in the morning, do not wait for the evening. This could be my last Ramadan of my entire life. If a person knows, the doctor says, listen, you got cancer, you only got 3-4 days or 3 months to live. The person now, his entire, each and every one of us, we only got a few more days to live. زِندَگِي چَنْد رَوْزَا هَي يَاد رَكْ. Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub Rahmatullah Alayhi says, remember, this life of yours is a few rozas. Just like how the month of Ramadan commenced, we say 30 days, so many days already gone, so many days left, and soon it'll all be over. Our lives are the same. Few rozas, little bit of restrainment, and so much is halal. Allah has made so much of halal, few things are haram. Restrain yourself from haram. few days, apply yourself in this month of Ramadan. Take advantage of these golden moments, these golden opportunities. These second 10 days of Ramadan. Offer the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tawbah and istighfar. Seek Allah ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah ta'ala wants to forgive us. Allah ta'ala is there to give us the himmat and courage to change our lives. Make this dua that, Ya Allah, my life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. Ya Allah, I do not know how many days are left of my life. Ya Allah, if suddenly the angel of death has to strike, it's going to be all over. Allah, I'm begging you. I do not have the courage to change. I do not have the himmat to change. I am weak. But oh my Allah, you are not weak. Ya Allah, you grant me the himmat, you grant me the courage to change my life, to rid myself of all these sins in my life. And Ya Allah, bring me back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim, make me yours and become mine. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this month of Ramadan. Allah ta'ala makes us of those who are completely emancipated from the month, from the fire of Jahannam in the month of Ramadan, completely drenched in his rains of rahmat and maghfirat. And we do not forget the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, whilst we are enjoying this month of Ramadan with all the delicacies and all the bounties and the safety and security that we have, they are from amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who are refugees. They are from amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who, as we speak, are being bombed. We should not forget them. Our heart goes out to them. We say, Ya Allah, restore the dignity of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, it is because of our sins that the entire ummah is suffering. But oh Allah, do not look at our sins. Look at those precious tears of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of his ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.